スレバヤ。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sunat Kumaro Vatu Kamadevad Daya Shirsha.Mampati Deva Helanat Devarshi Varyav Purushar Chandantarat Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayad AseshatSanat Kumaro Vadu Kama Devad Vyashira Mampati Deva Helanat Devar Shivaryav Purushar Chanantarat Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayad AseshatSanat Kumaro Vatu Kama Devad Dayashira Mampati Deva Helanat Devar Shivaryav Purushar Chanantarat Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayad Aseshat
Shabbat Shalom.
Sanat Kumara.
The great Brahmachari.
Named Sanat Kumara.
Abhatu.
May he protect.
Kamadevat.
From the hands of Cupid.
Or lusty desire.
Hayashirsha.
Lord Hayagriva.
The incarnation of the Lord.
Whose head is like that of a horse.
Mam.
Me.
Pati.
On the path.
Deva Helanat.
From neglecting to offer respectful obeisances.
To Brahmanas,
Vaishnavas,
and the Supreme Lord.
Devar Shivarya,
the best of the saintly sages.
Narada,
Purusha Archana Antarat,
from the offenses in worshipping the deity.
Kumara,
Lord Krishna, Lord Kurma,
the tortoise.
Hari,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mam,
me.
Nirayat,
from hell.
Aseshat,
unlimited.
Translation.
May the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. By expanding his illusory energy, the Lord assumed the form of the dwarf Vamana.
May Vamana protect me on the land. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarup, conquers the three worlds, may he protect me in the sky.
Purport.
This mantra seeks the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the water, land, and sky, in his incarnations as the fish, Vamanadeva and Vishwarup.
Text 14.
May Lord Nrisimhadev, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the Asuras to have miscarriages. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and the battlefront.
15.
The Supreme Indestructible Lord is ascertained through the performance of ritualistic sacrifices and is therefore known as Yageshwara. In his incarnation as Lord Bor, he raised the planet Earth from the water at the bottom of the universe and kept it on his pointed tusks. May that Lord protect me from rogues on the streets. May Parasaran protect me on the tops of mountains, and may the elder brother of Bharata, Lord Ramachandra, along with his brother Lakshmana, protect me in foreign countries.
Purport.
There are three Ramas. One Rama is Parasarama, Jamadagna. Another Rama is Lord Ramachandra, and the third Rama is Lord Balaram. In this verse, the words Ramo, Dri, Kutesh, Vata indicate Lord Parasaram. The brother of Bharat and Lakshman is Lord Ramachandra.
16.
May Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. May the Lord in his appearance as Nara protect me from unnecessary pride. May Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities.
17.
May Sanat Kumar protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses and worshipping the deity. And may Lord Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets.
Purport.
Lusty desires are very strong in everyone, and they are the greatest impediment to the discharge of devotional service. Therefore, those who are very much influenced by lusty desires are advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumar, the great Brahmachari devotee. Narad Muni, who is the guide for Archana, is the author of the Narada Pancharatra, which prescribes the regulative principles for worshipping the deity. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in the temple, should always seek the mercy of Devarshi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses while worshiping the deity. Those offenses in deity worship are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. So Vishwarupa is giving here how to protect oneself, right? So as we see is that actual protection is gained in connection with the Lord. Whatever it is that one's interest, one's nature, one's activities, it's the connection to the Lord that gives us that protection, that gives us the strength, because that's actually where the activity is coming from, right? Everything being Krishna, that means it's his potencies alone that make everything function. So recognizing this and the nature of his potencies, the variety of this and the forms that he takes for the pastimes in this, then one is protected from the material effect. Like when you have a snake, if you poison a snake, you remove the fangs. It still has poison, but it can't bite you. So the material world still has its nature of being material. But it doesn't affect you because you've connected to the Lord, because you see the actual reason that it functions. Because the reason we get affected is we think there is no connection to the Lord. Think it's material nature, myself, my abilities, my skills, my effort, my results. So that's why we get bound up, we get entangled. But when we see it as Krishna's world, Krishna's, rules, Krishna's techniques, Krishna's results, and we're just an instrument in the process, then what's to be bound up in? Because the Lord's not bound. So we connect everything to the Lord, we ourselves also will not be bound. So that's the simple point that's being given. So to do this, then there's all the variety. Because if I think of the variety, I think of the qualities. Otherwise, I can just say, yes, Krishna is all these things, which is fine as long as that accomplishes. But by meditating this way, you're meditating on the specific qualities. Because that's an aspect of meditation. If you just meditate on the form only, then it tends to be impersonal. But if meditating on the form, you see the qualities, right, and the activities, the pastimes, that makes it personal. Right? Because if I have a quality of strength, that's technically impersonal until I apply it in a specific way. Right? Because otherwise strength itself generically is impersonal. Then I apply it into something. Krishna's his strong arms, then he kills Kamsa and he protects the Yadu dynasty. Then that makes it personal. So just his quality of strength, that's the Brahman. But its application, that's him as a person. So that's why meditation is generally done in connection with the Lord and his qualities and activities. So all these unlimited qualities, then they're all present in Krishna, but we see as he comes and performs various pastimes in which these qualities are the focal point. Right? So then here, Sanat Kumar, of the four Kumaras, he's actually the potency of Krishna as Cupid. So the attractive feature that everything gets held together. Right? There's this idea that if you get enough mass, you get gravity. But actually, gravity is what holds the atoms together. How can you have mass if there's not, if the atoms aren't held together? If I have individual atoms, you know, and I want to get it big enough to get to like a planet, that means a lot of them have to be held together. What's holding them together? That's Prajumna. That's the Lord's attractive feature. Otherwise, when the 24 elements separate, they stay as individual atoms separate. There's all the earth, all the water, all the fire, but they're all individual. You can't do anything with them. So the original demigods who are in charge of these things, they can't do anything until the Lord enters them as the attractive feature. Then they can be held together and you can make things out of them. So that means everything's held together by Prajumna. Right? He's the one that has this. Because otherwise in the primary, on the main stage with Mahavishnu, you don't have to hold it together. But when you enter into the universe, where the living entities are going to be performing their activities, you have to have forms. To have forms, you have to have the atoms attracted to each other that they can actually make something. Does that make sense? Right. So, therefore, he's the one that holds everything together. So, by his grace, then we won't be attracted to try to enjoy this material energy separately from the Lord. Because if we see it in connection with the Lord, that he's the one holding it together, the attractiveness that we find in anything is actually Krishna. Right? So that's how one clears oneself of this problem, right? Then the next is that Hayagriva, that he protects him from being an offender and neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. So Hayagriva, then he's working, his quality is that of intelligence, knowledge, right? So the quality of knowledge, one of the first points of it is that you have gratefulness. You understand what it is that you're, you know, what's the benefit you're getting from this knowledge. So therefore, you're going to respect the Lord, respect the Vaishnavas, the Brahmins, whoever you're gaining this knowledge from. So then you'll be able to start this way. So by starting this way, otherwise you think, I'm very intelligent, I'm very clever, and I'm the one getting everything done. But when we start from Noah, by the Lord's grace, his knowledge. By the Lord's grace, it's revealed. And then this being applied in our life, then through the devotees, then we're grateful for that. So then that's actual knowledge. Right? Otherwise, then if we're not, we have some facts, some skills, but it's not actually an educated person. Right? Because the point is educated means you have knowledge and you're cultured. So that combination then comes by the grace of Hayagriva. Then in deity worship, to avoid the committing offenses in deity worship, then Narad Muni, he's the one that reveals the process of archana. And at the same time, is this other aspect that he preaches is naishkarmya, performing your duties without attachment to the results. Right? So offenses basically come because of attachment to results, either from the mode of passion or from the mode of ignorance. Right? Passion, we want a specific result, so we're not paying attention to our worship, and so we're distracted. That creates offenses. Or ignorance, that being attached to ignorance, we're not paying attention. And this way we're neglectful and we commit offenses. So all that's cleared by this position of naishkarmya. So by Narad Muni's grace, we can actually function and perform our duties in naishkarmya. And you may say, okay, that's for the deity worship. Now what about the other aspects? But by the process we're following a pancharatrik lifestyle. Right? So that means that in the morning and evening, you have the aspects connected to the deity, but the work you do in the day, either directly connected to the deity or indirectly through the work occupations that then maintain yourself so you can perform your sadhana and worship the deity, these are part of the pancharatrik system. So the pancharatrik system is complete in itself. But it only includes daivavarnashram. Right? It doesn't include just asurikvarnashram. Asurikvarnashram, in the Vedic sense, you can do that, though you're actually supposed to perform daiva. But pancharatra, the only option is daiva. So that means whatever you're doing, it needs to be connected to the Lord. And how do you do that? Through naishkarmya. That's the only way it can function. And then the last point, Kurmadev. Then he's the support of everything, right? He's holding up the earth. We see when the demigods are doing the pastime of churning the milk ocean, he's holding everything up. When you have the pastime of where Arjuna is making comments to Hanuman that, well, if Ramachandra is such a great archer, why is it that he's not just building the bridge out of his arrows? Why is he getting monkeys to build it out of rocks? So much easier just to do it yourself. So then Hanuman says, okay, so build this bridge. Let's see. I'm one monkey. There were thousands of us. Let's see if you can just, your bridge can hold up one monkey. Right? So then he builds the bridge with his arrows. Hanuman steps onto it. He just touches it with his foot. It breaks. And then he makes a comment to Arjuna, well, it looks like that's why he didn't use arrows. He used monkeys and rocks. So then then Arjuna is feeling bad, so then a Brahmin at that time comes, and then he says, okay, no one was here to watch it. Let's do this again, just to make sure it's fair. So then Arjuna again built a bridge. This time Hanuman went on. And then he couldn't make it break. And so as he's in the very middle, when he looks, he sees over the edge Kurma's underneath holding it up. Then he can understand, okay, there's something going on here. So he goes back, and then the Brahmin turns into Krishna. Right? So he says, as Ramachandra, then he was performing pastimes with Hanuman and did the bridge in that way, but now as Krishna, then with Arjuna, then they have their pastimes. Right? So Kurma is then the basis of holding everything up. So, therefore, by his grace, we will not behave or something in such a way that we'll fall from our position in Krishna consciousness and then go down into the unlimited hellish planets. Right? You know, when we talk about there's 26 main that are, you know, deserve mention, right? You know, getting tossed off a mountain thousands of times, or being, you know, wrapped, you know, your arms wrapped around this kind of tree. You've ever seen them? They have thorns all over them, big thorns, and they give these big red flowers. And inside the flowers, if you beat them, you get this super fine cotton. They're called shimul. Means if you ever see it, you can get pillows made out of that. They're the softest thing ever, like that. So you have the softest, you know, thing, but this tree, it's monster, you know, that. So they wrap you around that, you know, so your arms are around, then they grab you by the feet and pull you from the top to the bottom, right? And they do that all day, you know, so that's where the original phrase comes from, that the Yamadus are saying to the person that they're, you know, punishing, we could do this all day, right? You know, so, yeah, literally. So that's going on. So then, So these are worthy of mention, but there's unlimited any situation that's unfortunate that is there. So even here we see aspects of that, and then as you go down, it just gets worse. Right. So if you think it's bad here, you should see, you know, when it really gets bad. Right. So Kurmadev, then he protects us from falling. So by his grace, we don't fall. By Nard's grace, then we're able to function without attachment. By Hayagriva's grace, we're able to understand our position and be respectful to others. And by the grace of Sanat Kumar, we're not attracted to things outside of our service to Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense? Is there any questions on this? Yes. Haya Shirsha. Okay. Oh, about the demigods. Okay. Yes, okay. So he's saying that another aspect of this, of Hayagriva, how he protects one from offenses, is that since he is the one who gives back the Vedas, and because the Vedas being lost, then he returns them again to Lord Brahma. And so then, by his grace, then one can see the full process. Because otherwise, another aspect of offense that generally we don't get so distracted by, but is that you consider that the demigods or the forefathers are the source of benefit. So one is following the Veda. But in following the Veda, one's only following up to a particular point, only up to the demigods, only up to the forefathers, and not all the way back to the Supreme Lord. That the demigods are performing their duties, and we respect them, but their potency comes from the Supreme Lord. Same with the forefathers. Right? So, like that, then we're able to be freed from another aspect of the offense of not taking our, even we have knowledge, we're not taking it far enough that it gets all the way to the Supreme Lord. Because when it gets there, then we become freed from being entangled in the material world. Because otherwise we stop in between, then we will be entangled in a nicer way. It probably gives the example of you can be bound by gold chains, silver chains, or iron chains. All right? So just because it's gold chains and you have a nice big gold ball that, you know, it's probably really worth, you know, stealing, but it's heavier than the others, right? So you're not going to walk off with it. So you can be very proud of it. You know, and the other prisoners, wow, that's a gold chain prisoner, yeah, you know, so yeah, everyone's offering respects to this guy. But the point is they're all still in the same prison, just he has nicer chains, that's all. Does that make sense? So knowledge, if it's not taken all the way to Krishna, you'll still get bound, because it's Krishna's potency, like that. Yes? No? Something more? Or? Yes? So that funny little mic dingus, yes, okay.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned about Pancharatrika Vidhi, and then you said that I couldn't really understand this Deva Varnashrama and Asura Varnashrama, and because I was thinking about our devotees in ISKCON, generally they go to their work. So just wonder, is that a part of the Pancharatrika Vidhi to go to their work and then come home and worship the deity, and in the morning also worship the deity?
Okay. Yeah. Yes, it means, so to approach the question, the potatoes sitting in someone's kitchen, are they something, are they devotional service, or they're just a pile of potatoes? What are they?
It depends if it's in the house of a devotee.
So that's the whole point. Going to work, who are you working for? Why are you working? How do you see the work? What's the benefit of the work? How do you use that work? That makes all the difference. So if you connect it to the Pancharatra, so that it's connected to the Lord through the process of Daiva Varanashram, then it's devotional service. Indirect, but still it's connected. Right? Does that make sense? But if you don't connect it, it's not automatic. The idea that I'm a devotee, so everything I do is automatically connected, doesn't work. Because what we're used to dealing with is the primary aspect within our devotional process is the direct activities. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham. Now, whether we understand them to be spiritual or not, they are spiritual. Right? So that's the credit of those processes, not us. But we take it that I'm the devotee, so I'm the one that makes everything spiritual. So now when I go to work, it's automatically spiritual. But that's indirect. Indirect activities, if you connect them, they're connected. If you don't connect them, they are not connected. So that means when you're doing the direct activities, whether you're conscious of Krishna or not, you're getting spiritual benefit. The more you're conscious, the more benefit you get. But these indirect activities, you're not conscious of Krishna, you're not getting any spiritual benefit. You're conscious of its connection, then you get the benefit. Does that make sense? You're in scrubbing your bathroom. Why are you scrubbing your bathroom? Just because you're the person that likes clean bathrooms, people come over to your house, they go, wow, what a nice clean bathroom, because you're the clean bathroom person. Right? So that's not spiritual. It's pious, it's good, it's clean, it's a good quality, but it's not spiritual. But if you're thinking about Krishna likes things clean, and so therefore I'm cleaning Krishna's bathroom because that's the way Krishna likes it, then you get spiritualized. Understand? So that's the whole thing. You connect it, it's there. You don't connect it, it's not. That's the disadvantage of indirect. That's why the Brahmachari Vanaprastha Sannyas, they're more prominently dealing with direct and very little dealing with indirect. Right? It's not that they can't get distracted, but the point is it's very minimal. Well, the Grihastha, then you're taking on a prominence of indirect. So therefore one has to make that effort to connect everything. So that's why then Vishrupa is giving this Narayana Kavacha, because you generally see as the sages aren't the ones having to use this, it's the Grihasthas. Right? The demigods, they're in the Kshatriya Grihasthas, so they're using it. Does that make sense? But you don't see the other Brahmacharis and that needing to use it. Right? Because they're already in just connecting. They can chant, but it's not an important thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay?
I just also, excuse me my ignorance, but Devi Varnashrama and
Asura Varnashram.
I'm not clear.
Generally, just so nobody becomes disturbed, we generally just say Daiva Varnashram and Varnashram. But technically, it's Daiva Varnashram or Asura Varnashram. Daiva means, let's say, I take my duties, I connect it to Krishna, that's Daiva Varnashram. I take my duties, I don't connect it to Krishna, that's Asura Varnashram. Because we generally take Asura means they don't follow duties. That's the small timers. The big timers, they follow the duties because they know that's how you get benefit, right? It's just like this. When it comes to economics, right? The smart people follow the rules and they make money. Or the smart people follow the social rules and they move up in society. And people who are whimsical or don't know the rules, then they don't do well. You understand? So the big demons, they're smart. So they follow Varnashram. So when you follow Varnashram not connected to Krishna, that's Asuric Varnashram. So sometimes when you have a devotee that may be following the rules but not knowing why, and it's not really enhancing necessarily his Krishna consciousness, but his, you know, feelings of piety and doing the rightfulness and justice and all that, that's Asuric Varnashram. That's why then those who are, don't appreciate Varnashram say, use that as an example of why Varnashram's bad. But all they've done is said Asuric Varnashram is bad. But now if they count Daiva Varnashram in with this, then you're dealing with the exact same amount of ignorance. Right? So in that case, that is the pot calling the kettle black. You understand? So that's the problem is with these, is that you're having Asuric Varnashram and you're having the liberals reject it and you're having the conservatives accept it. But both are missing the point of Daiva Varnashram. That's the Vaishnava position. One cannot assail Daiva Varnashram. If one does, why even bother calling yourself a devotee? You know what I'm saying? Because Daiva Varnashram means it's all connected to Krishna, so I'm doing my duties to please Krishna. So devotees won't do that. They'll be very careful to avoid Asuric Varnashram. And that means is that I'm following the rules not knowing why. Right? That's Niyamagraha, right? And then the other Niyamagraha is then I don't understand the rules, so I reject them. Right? Hence your conservatives and liberals. Right? So, but Vaishnavism is neither of those. I'm following the rules because it pleases Krishna. Right? That's the middle path. These other two claim to be that they're the balanced, but they're not. They may get closer to the middle, but they're still on the left or the right. Does that make sense? So that's the Shastric term, Daiva Varnashram, Asuric Varnashram. Generally, we just say Varnashram because we're connecting to Krishna, so you don't have to say Daiva every time. But when we say Varnashram, we don't mean Asuric. In any case, who's qualified to follow Asuric? If you're born in a smarta family, then my respects, you may have the qualification to follow. But if you're not born, if you're born kind of outside this kind of aspect, then generally following Varnashram is not the natural aspect. So then for all that endeavor, why do Asuric Varnashram? Why not Daiva Varnashram? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So something else? Or? No? Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna.